Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is yours truly, the icon, the leader of the F4L, welcoming in you as I run around to get the iced coffee, as I'm here to welcome you to another edition of the all-new Talking Tuesday. Welcome to the F4L headquarters. I already introduced myself. You know who I am by now. Anywho, so we got a lot of stuff to go through tonight and whatnot, so we're going to get into it. Don't know if we're going to have any call-in guests tonight, and that's okay if we do or don't, because we've got a lot to go over, like I said. So let's get into it. Excuse me one second.
Anywho,
sorry, folks. The wife is watching wrestling, and as you know, I'm not watching wrestling, but she's enjoying it, I think. Anywho, I'm here. Sorry about that. This is what happens in life, but anyway. All right, let's get into this. So we're going to get a lot of stuff to go over, a lot of things to go into and so forth, updates and whatnot. You know, first of all, let me welcome you guys and say happy 4th of May, first of all. Today's the 4th of May, so for those Star Wars fans out there, may the Force be with you. Today is one of the only days that 4 is actually celebrated throughout the Star Wars community and is actually somehow on social media and so forth has become a pop culture phenomenon. Today, driving around on highway signs and so forth, there's a lot of in wrestling, we call them ribs with the other drivers, as they'd have little, they'd have their usual public safety announcements, but they would be in Star Wars form. For example, I saw one sign that said, Wookiees don't like littering. Only Sith Lords litter. Don't use the Force and buckle up, and various other Star Wars reference type announcements on the digital freeway signs on the highway as I drove my wife back and forth to work today. So that was fun. Oh boy, what a day it's been. What a couple days it's been. I was here for you guys on Monday and again on Friday. And here I am again, as promised. So I already wished you guys a happy 4th of May. So also, let's kick things off the right way. I'm going to bring you guys up to speed on the YouTube show. As you know, today is the 4th. So if you go on YouTube right now, you can actually watch today's episode on YouTube. We have all kinds of great matches on. And, man, there was some big, big things that happened on the show. A lot of people really like watching our show for various different reasons and so forth. We have a new signee that we just started not long ago, who she was telling me that when she really gets excited while watching her matches and watching her character in action. In all honesty, if I'm putting smiles on people's faces and my show is somehow helping someone get through a hard day, put a smile on someone's face, inspire them to do better than they are, or inspire them to keep going and doing the amazing things that they're doing, then I'm going to keep doing this for a long time because I owe it to them. I'm about dream masters. I'm about dream making, even for the Women Warriors of Wrestling. So there you have it. But let's talk about some news from today and some rumors and so forth that's going to have what's been happening on the show. For the guys who are a little bit behind, and maybe you guys don't know, maybe this is your first time tuning into the headquarters, coming into the F4L headquarters. So let me explain to you the show that we're talking about on YouTube. It's the Jazz and His Icons of the F4L show on YouTube. Going on the format that my son and I started many years ago on YouTube, where we did what was called Dream Matches, where we would take various different either pop culture phenomenons or pop culture characters or whatever. And you see, there's always this big question, who's tougher than who? Who would win between a prime Bruce Lee and a prime Chuck Norris? could Jet Li take, you know, Brandon Lee and things like that. And before we came around on YouTube, there was never really a way to find out unbiasedly. People would always talk and debate, but there was nothing visual you could see and whatnot. As you guys know, I have a background in pro wrestling. I've been in the pro wrestling business for 21 years. My son, one day, when he was sick from school one day, many years ago, I decided that I wanted to cheer him up because any parent, best thing you want to see is your kid's sick or whatever else. And, you know, you want to do everything you can to make them happy and comfortable. So, you know, we had the old school PlayStation 3 back then. And we went ahead and we, what I did was I built Homer Simpson using the Create a Wrestler mode in the wrestling game that we had. You know, my son's a big fan of games and stuff like that anyway, but I had found out I have a kind of a knack for building people, characters, and so forth. So I would build Homer Simpson, and then I built Peter Griffin just to make the kid laugh. And, you know, it did make him laugh. But then we were stuck in the scenario where, well, now we want to see them fight, but neither one of us wanted to play as either one. And my son suggested, why don't we put them, you know, have them in demo mode, let them fight each other and see what happens. And then we did that, and I said, well, why don't we record it and put it up on YouTube so anyone, whoever wants to see who would win between Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson would win in a fight. Well, we have the answer now because we're going to put it up there. And what we did is we did this commentary track right back to it. Like, as I said, I've, you know, been around the pro wrestling business in all aspects. My son obviously was a kid back then, and he doesn't have as much experience, but he still loves wrestling. So we just did this thing where, you know, we had this commentary thing together. But also I used it as a way to kind of educate him and other people about pro wrestling and different maneuverings and how a wrestling show is supposed should be booked. And then from there, me and my son really took that by storm, and we just, you know, went bigger and bigger. We went from calling Dream Matches to be calling the Dream Masters. And then a number of years ago, we added the women's division because there's always those tough women out there. I mean, Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman or Xena, or Sarah Connor or Ripley from Alien. And what we were able to do is put a women's division together, and we called them the Women Warriors, which is hyphenated, a wrestling, or WOW for short. So that's the backstory of how the show started many years ago. And fast forward to now, my son's now 18. He'll be 19 in November. We've been doing this show since he was about 9, 10, something like that. Been a long time. Since YouTube, basically. It was a something. So it was that. Anyway, it's evolved over the years. And recently, my son's decided he wants to kind of do his own thing on YouTube, which I respect that. Kids grow up and stuff like that. Once in a while, he'll come on and do special shows, and he still has a lot of input on how I run my show. And he does his own universe things himself because he, you know, learned a lot, I think, from me, and also he's getting involved with that aspect. So, you know, that's going on still. So I'm proud of him. He's doing good things. So anyway, let's talk about this current edition of what we call the, which is evolved from, instead of it's Jazz and Sons Dream Matches, it's now just Jazz and his Icons of F4L, because people who are featured on the show are, in fact, iconic, and most are either members of the F4L or people who are there to be kind of nuisances of the F4L, because you can't have good without bad, because you know, there's always people who like to hate on people, the bullies of the world, and, you know, people are ready to go, men and women. And for the first time ever, we put them all together on one roster, which is awesome. As people are letting me know that everything's good, and I'm bragging right now to people. One of those people I just wanted to mention right off the get-go is I just was talking about our new signee. I just started. You guys have heard. I mean, I'm going to give a shout out here anyway to Michael Fishman, first of all, for his Mental Health Mondays. Michael Fishman thanks to Michael Fishman, I've met many awesome people that, like myself, I have PTSD, but I don't let it slow me down. And I don't make excuses. I just keep going. And even with PTSD, I was able to overcome all of that to achieve every goal that I had, but I still have more. So life's not over yet, so I have much, much more to go. And since I'm doing this, everyone's chiming in now at once. As Michael Fishman messages me now. Anywho, I'm hoping to bring Michael Fishman on the podcast, actually, sometime closer to Father's Day, because he is fantastic. Anywho, Michael Fishman has, you know, introduced me and has you know, brought some, you know, things to me and so forth like that. And Michael Fishman has an amazing support system. And by the way, he wanted me to let you guys know he's got his own kind of a podcast type of thing going on called the Fish's Call Sheet, where he talks to people in the industry, kind of you know, gives some insight and has some great interview stuff. Michael Fishman is a fantastic guy. He's very busy, very proud, always has time for his kids, though, also. Very busy man, very talented, multi-talented guy. I can't say enough of Michael Fishman. He's a fantastic human being. And, of course, thanks to him, we were able to come up with the car. And of course, that newer hire is the Duchess Lana King. Of course, she's our new signee, one of our newest signees, and she started with us a little bit around November, and then of course she's still going. She's already a champion and everything else, so she's doing fantastic things. She's an actress in real life and a story writer and everything else. But I'm very happy for her, and she's doing good things. So go check out Lana King. She's doing big things. As my wife is acting and doing all kinds of things in the background because she thinks it's cute. Honey, would you like to be on the show? Yeah, I know. Anywho, wife likes to do things when I'm on my podcast in the background so you guys can't see it because thankfully there's no camera on. But that's okay, because that's the playfulness we have, because I love the wife. Anywho, I got a lot of shout-outs, like I said, but let's just get into Jazz's icons of the F4L for today's event, for example, because a lot of things have come about, and we treat the show like it is a wrestling show anyway. A couple big things have happened just today alone. Brock Brown has, you know, as you guys know, last show, or maybe you don't know, but Brock Brown made his return not long ago. Brock Brown was the unpredictable one that we had way back in the day. Brock Brown was a character my son and I created probably 2 years ago during the using the system. And he's a kind of a Minecraft kind of character. But the thing about Brock Brown is, you know, we put clothes on him and all these other things, but yet for some reason, sometimes Brock Brown comes out dressed and sometimes he doesn't due to whatever flaws or whatever. But also adds to some kind of, it actually adds to the show because our show is random, we have no control of what happens and when. We don't know if he's going to get dressed or not. We tell him to. But doesn't mean he's going to. That's why he's got the nickname as the Unpredictable, the Bad Boy, the Unpredictable Brock Brown. However, you would think that no one really likes to, you know, someone like Brock Brown because he's so, well, for one thing, unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. He's about 7'4" and about 600 pounds. He's a big, big dude. But yet, he's a big dude that does all these random things, like he does a Brock-a-Rooney, where he does breakdancing moves, and then he'll do, you know, all kinds of other things. Very athletic for a guy who's, you know, 7'4" and 600 pounds. He's a very athletic, whatever it is. He's not necessarily a dude or a guy. He's Brock Brown. But there has been some rumors that has been speculating. And this is something big that people who are from the past who have been fans of our show for a while have been kind of clamoring for. They know that, you know, they've seen Little Sweet on our show, and they obviously know Brock Brown's on our show. Even Mr. Hankey's on our show, Toxie. But there has been rumors and innuendos that it is possible that the Social Outcast, that was Brock Brown's group that he ran of kind of the most absurd characters you'd ever see, they kind of banded together as Brock Brown being the leader. And if the rumors are correct, I don't know for sure, but I have heard that Brock Brown, Little Sweet, this is what I was told, that they were seen together, and they brought the Noid with them. And no sooner did I say that, my wife says she saw the Noid on TV, on the Domino's commercial. The Noid is a thing that was out back in, when I was in the, what, back in the 80s, in the early 90s, the Noid. It was a cartoon kind of a character, kind of a claymation type thing. And he was obnoxious. He was kind of freaky. And no sooner do we bring him, I do know that, you know, he's been seen in the locker room because he's friends with Little Sweet. And if that's the case, then the Social Outcasts get back together, then the rest of the roster is going to be on notice. I mean, if Toxie gets in there, Toxie, of course, from the Toxie, is also known as the Toxic Avenger. He's also a proud member of the Social Outcast. There's been no confirmation whether or not he is or is not, you know, here. But we do know that where there's one, there's all of them. So something the roster has to be aware of. The Social Outcast get back together. Anywho, there's some other big things. I wanted to talk about the newest tag team. We have a big thing today. Hopefully you guys already saw it or not. I don't know. It was our main event where the debuting tag team of Frickin' Frack made their debut. Wanted to talk about Frickin' Frack right quick because this was also their debut officially on air. We had an off-air tournament to find number one contenders for the tag team titles, or to get involved in the four-way, I should say, where Frickin' Frack had won the opportunity to challenge the tag team champions, which was Robin and Tristan of OK Thank You. Also, they were taking on the other team that qualified, and the other team that's been a thorn in the side of OK Thank You has been Trey Parker, Matt Stone, the South Park Rangers. They were also involved, and then we had a match to kick the show off for that fourth team, which, you know, ended up being the returning Blood Brothers, Damian Payne and Philip Awesome. Now, as you guys know, Philip Awesome has been on our show before. He's a former social media champion, and he was a member of the Awesome Ones. What you don't know maybe is that the Awesome Ones have turned on Philip Awesome after losing his title, because he was the only one that had a title. They beat him up, and to the shock of everyone, Damian Payne came to his aid, his older brother, and that would set up the opening contest from today, which was the Blood Brothers taking on the Awesome Ones, which was Shap Awesome, the leader of the Awesome Ones, my son, and his friend Camino. And the Blood Brothers won. Shows that, you know, it's been a little while since they've been together, but they, you know, in the outcome, they finally were able to defeat the Awesome Ones to be added in a four-way. In the end, it was this new team of Frack. They're original characters. They come from Berlin, Germany. I want to tell you about a little bit about them. I had to go find their, I want to say their agent, but it's a little hard to communicate with the agent, but Frickin' Frack, they come from Berlin, Germany, like I said. Frick stands 6'9", and Frack is 6'7". Total combined weight is 998 pounds. They're big boys. They master in just ground and pound, but also a lot of the aerial stuff for people their size they should not be doing. It's insane. But anywho, they were out of this match, and they did the show of the lifetime, these two. They worked together. They cut each other. They had each other's back through the entire match. And what's surprising is they went in there with tag teams like OK Thank You, who have been so dominant as tag team champions, but also as a tag team as a whole. We're talking about a team that has retired the Horror Connection and has put the fear in a lot of the other guys and have chased off other teams and so forth. But and of course they won, got them back to the title picture, which is where they finally were able to win the tag team titles again from their old nemesis, the Father Son Fist Bump podcast, which Gabe and Austin hope they're doing well. Austin was running for junior president for his school, so I'm waiting to hear confirmation if he's won or not, or if it's still going on. But if it's not, and you're in Salt Lake City and you go to school in Austin, go vote for him. Anyway, shout out to the Father Son Fist Bump and Austin of the Father Son Fist Bump. Running for president is off time when he's not on our show, which is why they're not on our show, because he's focusing on the campaign trail. Anywho, so Frick-a-Frack, moral of the story, have won the tag team titles. At least we know now that there will be a rematch on May 14th where OK Thank You will get their rematch against Frickin' Frack in just a standard 2-on-2 tag team match. Frickin' Frack are a new team. Can they beat a team 2-on-2? We're yet to see that. This is kind of a street fight kind of a thing when they did it the other day. Sometimes it's a little different than a regular standard 2-on-2, a lot more pressure. All right. So also we had another debut today of the Wendigo making his return, debut. Who, oddly enough, he made a debut to the returning Bubba Earl Puppy Dough, the convict who got out on good behavior a while ago just to go back to – just to get injured by Jackson R. Scott. He's back, and of course – his first match was with the mystical Wendigo, who makes his debut. Wendigo stands about 7 foot two, weighs about 569 pounds. Apparently, he is trained as a witch doctor, as well as he is the master of the forest and the environment in the forest. A lot of dark arts here. We've got to watch out for this. Jackson R. Scott is usually the one who plays a lot of the mind games with that kind of stuff, so that could be a thing. I mean, there's rumors and speculation that, Pennywise may be returning soon, too. I don't know how true that is. I've not seen the dancing clown anywhere, so we hope that's not the case. Anywho, we already talked about the Blood Brothers, and we talked about Bubba Earl Puppy Dough back from injury. He took on the Wendigo. Unfortunately, Wendigo, the new star, picked up the big win. In Bubba Earl's, defense, he's only a human who's just been in solitary confinement most of his time in jail, where, Wendigo is kind of a witch doctor, has a lot of powers on the dark side. So, I don't really know how you would compete with that. However, they were both big boys. It wasn't like he was in there with some little guy. So Wendigo picks up that win in a very impressive debut. But Bubba Earl looked pretty good, I got to say, from his injury. So good for him. I already said how the Blood Brothers returned with vengeance, I'd say, no pun intended on me, as they took on the Awesome Ones in the opening contest and then did a pretty decent job in the main event as well. Unfortunately, like I said, Frickin' Frack, the newcomer. Sometimes when you have a team you've never faced before in wrestling, I can tell you this from wrestling experience, it's hard to kind of put up a game plan against a team you don't know much about. Frickin' Frack won a tournament featuring a lot of other teams that, to get involved in that match. So that should give you an indication of what's coming up in our tag team division. We have probably one of the best tag team divisions of any wrestling company anywhere, which is a lot more organized and respected than anywhere else for that matter as well. Anywho, let's talk about the new signees, the siblings. Cassandra Joslin and Edward Mason made their debut on our last show. And they were again featured in this show here tonight. Both are 2-0. Both are on a winning streak in, singles action and so forth. And they're, like I said, they're a brother. They're, Cassandra is the oldest of the two, a brother-son duo, and they are the niece and nephew of Jazz Vengeance and Jazz Fitness, as well as Edward. They are the kids of Edward White, Edward J. White, the lawman. So they are, they have the wrestling in blood. So hopefully that will bring them to the top. Since a lot of the other family members are also involved, as their cousins and aunts and so forth involved here. So I guess that those are teams, those are people to keep an eye on. They're going to move up in the world. We already talked about the Duchess, Lana King, who is our current reigning social media champion. Very big wins, big good stuff, good stuff. Very proud of all of these people. And I guess that's all of the debut stuff for there. Just so you guys know, I'm going to be doing a special Mother's Day edition show from time before Mother's Day, which is Sunday this week, I just remembered. So we're going to be doing a special edition Mother's Day show. We're going to have all featured mothers, and it's going to be all women on the show. So it should be a really exciting show. I'm excited. I hope you guys are too. The Women Warriors of Wrestling are probably just as important as the men are. And when it comes to moms in general, it's no harder job than being a mom. Dads is no easy either. I can tell you that, because that's me. But I give a lot of props to people like my wife and my mother and all the other mothers around the world who bust their rear ends and bust their asses for their kids every single day. And, a lot of kids, as much as kids know they have that, a lot of kids take that for granted. I can tell you for myself, there are many times that, there's always that moment for myself that I want to pick up the phone and just, I want to share something with my mother. I'll think of my mom and say, hey, my mother would think this was funny or whatever. And then I'm reminded that I can't do that because I lost my mother 11 years ago on Monday. It was 11 years. You can't really look at the past. And all I can do is, hope that, she's looking at me wherever she is and proud of what I've done with my life and so forth. My biggest regret is that she wasn't able to see me get married. But there are days that, I wish I could call my mother and say, hey, listen to this or remember that and whatever. And I just, my kids were so young when she died that, they didn't really get to know her really that well. Cause my mother was missing for 11 years prior to that anyway. Just as I was going to, start introducing and stuff like that, unfortunately, unfortunately what happens in life. You got to take those moments for granted. You can't take moments like that for granted. So if you guys have mothers out there, you haven't called in a while, or you have a mother who's alive, who's, you guys know who you are, pick up the phone and call her, tell her you love her, tell her you're thankful. Show her tributes on your own ways, because that's ultimately what Mother's Day is for, is honoring the mothers who gave up a lot to be mothers. And mothers, there's no playbook and there's no book. There's no instruction manual. Many people can write a book on how to raise kids, but there's really nothing that'll actually prepare you to do so. And the women who I have been lucky enough to see are my wife and my mother, two of the greatest mothers I've ever known in my life. I'm very proud and happy. I know I'm a little biased to that because I married my wife and my mother's my mom, but my mother wasn't perfect. She wasn't, the greatest mom of all time, but for me, she was a mother I needed. And prior to me coming into the world, she fought a lot of people to bring me into this world. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here today doing this podcast for you guys. There would be no Dream Masters. There would be no kids. There would be nothing for me. So we'll thank my mother for that one. So let's get into the FRO shout-outs right quick, because they have a lot of them. First up is number 13, Yesenia Verkovits, our friend from Moscow, Russia. I had sent a lot of these guys, I try to send them copies of their best of matches from our show, especially the newer characters, the newer cause. A lot of the cause are based on actual real people. This is not my show now. These are actual people I'm shouting out now. The people in which these cause are based on. Yasani Berkovits is a young football star who has also gone into combat sports, who's very athletic, also very full of life and has a lot of goals and stuff. I like to reward people who, you know, have the passion for getting their dreams done, put the work into making their dreams happen. And Berkovits does a great job of that. And he has a great support team around him. He has a really great mother and a great father and a great brother and stuff like that. So a shout out to Berkovits and his family. And I sent them a copy of his best matches along with the soundtrack to the entrance music of our superstars on the Dream Masters. So hopefully they enjoy that and hope I get a good review. I sent them a couple autographs and stuff like that, one for him and a couple for his family. You know, making dreams come true and making smiles happen. That's what I like to do, and I love to see people happy. That's what you do. So next up is our friend JoJo the Bodybuilder. JoJo is a young, you know, fitness enthusiast who's hoping one day to be the new Mr. Olympia, and I believe this kid's got the tools to do it. He's got the drive. He's got the heart. You know, he's all over Instagram, YouTube, all that, doing the right things, eating right, and subtracting a lot of the negative things out there, doesn't pay a lot of attention to the outside world as far as what other kids are doing. He doesn't worry about all that. Very real kid, which is awesome. And, you know, again, really hard worker. He's organized his own bodybuilding thing for teenagers like himself to get into. And then, of course, one day he hopes to be Mr. Olympia, and I believe this kid could do it. So a lot of those guys, and I believe in all of them. Next up, Leo the Bull Curtis. He's a rugby and combat sports guy. He's also our current reigning MMA Grand Prix champion, if you want to call it that. JoJo's a former champion as well, as is Yasani Berkovits. A lot of these people have been champions on our show. They kind of cross-promote themselves. Leo the Bull Curtis is a terrific young man from the U.K., you know, does a lot of charity work to bring awareness for various things like mental health and Tourette syndrome and so forth like that. A great young man, hardworking, again, specializes in like Muay Thai kickboxing as well as rugby, which, by the way, I started playing rugby for fun not too long ago. That's a hard sport, but you know what? I think, you know, I played soccer in high school and it was pretty competitive. And one of the things that really held me back from really going far is the fact that I was very physical and the coaches were afraid I'd hurt people because you get a lot of cards in soccer. But in rugby, you actually can tackle like in American football. So I like rugby. We'll go into the sports play with the bowling thing later too. Anywho, next up is our good friend, the Fish himself, Michael Fishman. I know I gave him a little bit of a shout out earlier. But, again, he's still doing the Connors, still doing his big things. He's doing his, you know, Mental Health Mondays, which I, you know, sadly, I've not been able to tune in on Monday because I'm bowling. But he knows I'll be there on Thursday, and I'll try to catch up with him when I can. He's, like I said, not a lot of people who are in that industry, you know, take the time to reach out and come back to people, even though I've been in the business too. So I know how hard it gets. Keep track of everything and try to get back to people. But Michael Fishman definitely has the job done. And he has his Fish's call sheet tomorrow. So go check out Michael Fishman. You can find him at Real Fishman, Real Michael M. Fishman on social media, on Instagram, whatever. And he can give all the details there. Go check him out. He's a really, really good guy. Excellent. And next I want to give a shout out to our friends from YouTube, the Technical Work Rate Productions. There are two YouTubers who like to talk about the current state of pro wrestling, which is just a travesty, but do in a comical way, which I find amusing because I myself say the same things that they do. And I've been in the wrestling business for 22 years. If you guys don't remember, I was on their show not long ago. And sadly, I tried to get them on my show. That did not work out well, but we're trying to reschedule that soon. So hopefully we can have them on my show and we'll have a jolly good time. And I'll be back on theirs too eventually. But they're great guys, and they're doing great things. Go check out Tech Work Great Productions. The next two individuals, or three actually, is Mason and Carter Stritzel, the Stritzel Fight Club. The two of them and their dad, what drive these kids have. They just both had birthdays recently, so a quick happy birthday to both of them. I didn't realize how close to birthday, literally a month apart, I think. But, you know, two terrific young men, really destined for whatever they want to do in life. They put the work in to get the job done. They're into combat sports, mostly jiu-jitsu. And, you know, actually Mason over the weekend just won another award. And last week he won another gold medal with the submissions and stuff like that. They're doing great work, both of those young men. And all honesty, not only is it them doing the work, they got a great supports team and their dad. And, you know, you can't say, you got to give props when they see dads and parents getting involved, because there's a difference between the parents who get involved for the wrong reasons and then the parents who want to see their kids do what they want to do and support them in their dreams. And that's what we have here. We got a guy who is supporting his two sons. He puts himself at risk, because sometimes I see him put those pads on, get those kicks and stuff. I wouldn't want to take those kicks, I'll tell you that much. I've competed in combat sports, and I can tell a lot of things about how someone hits and kicks and so forth and whatever. But, you know, good stuff. So shout out to the Crystal Fight Club and everyone who's involved over there, Mason Carter and Dad and everyone else. Great job. Of course, our, you know, tag team music sensation, Jack and Tim, the Lucky Ones. Recently, they just did a new music video, I understand, and whatnot. You know, they'd be great to have on their show. Someday I'm going to get them on here, because they're a joy. I've talked to them before, and they're a lot of fun. And, again, terrific young man, terrific father-son team. And when it comes to father-son duos, I have to admit I have a little bit of a soft spot for that, since I really enjoy doing stuff with my own kids, especially my son as far as the wrestling goes and whatever. So it's great when a parent takes the time get that invested with their kids. And that really makes me happy to see that. That goes for all these people. I just mentioned the Duchess Lana King, both in real life and in the cause. She's a terrific young lady. She's going to be doing great things as a filmmaker, as an actress. You know, we all have hard days. And with Lana, I think what her cause does is shows that no matter how hard life hits you, you keep getting up and you knock it down, you become the champion. I think that's what that message is. The next one, Dave Hagen and the Monster Mania Convention. He's the promoter over there. And I want to let you guys know that May 22nd to the 23rd, Monster Mania is going to be doing their pop-up event at the Oaks Expo Center at the fairgrounds. And that's in Oaks, Pennsylvania. So they're not even in Cherry Hill this time. They're going to Pennsylvania for an outdoor event. And again, wear your mask and be socially distant. Doing whatever you got to do. That's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Go check out monstermania.net for more details. Tell Dave I sent you. He'll love it. Anyway, just want to let you guys know, if you guys want to see us in person, we'll be taking the trip down to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, ourselves as a family, as a group, really. August 12th to the 15th, we'll be in Cherry Hill, New Jersey for the Monster Mania event down there. Myself and my wife and the family has been vaccinated and stuff, so that's exciting. We're making progress there, and I hope everyone else does the same. I encourage you guys to do the same thing, because it doesn't take long. There's nothing to it. There's no reason not to. There you go. And the other shout out I really want to give out is, I want to give a shout out again. I already said the mothers and my mom and my wife, but all the mothers out there who sacrifice everything for the kids. There's a lot of mothers out there who are single moms. And my mom, you know, she picked the worst guys ever, but I wouldn't really classify her as a single mom necessarily, but, you know, my mom basically did run a lot of it by herself. None of the really guys were really involved. My wife is a fantastic human being who's an awesome mother. I would, you know, I'm proud to have her as my wife. I'm proud that I have two great kids, and I owe her a lot to do for helping with that. It's a lot of teamwork that goes into raising kids, and she does a great job of it. You know, she's really self-conscious around herself, and she doesn't have the greatest self-esteem. I don't have my greatest self-esteem either, but that's why I can tell that she's a great mom. And my mom was a great mom. As much as the mistakes my mom would make, she still did the best she could with what she had. So at least I can tell her that.
Yeah, that.
All right, here's my F4L shout-outs. I think I hit everyone I need to. I hope. If I missed anyone, I'm sorry. There's always on Friday. Okay. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about bowling last night. So you guys know I let you guys know last week that my family, and I mentioned a few minutes ago too, that my son and I have joined the Summer Bowling League to kind of get ourselves back into something, a regular, normal event, something to get, you know, bring some normalcy back. Now, I think I said before, but I've been bowling in an adult bowling league since I was about 13 or 14, mostly due to my uncle who brought me into the adult bowling league because he bowled, he needed a bowler, and also he thought it would be good for me. And he made arrangements with the bowling president back then, because, you know, that's how a league works. And as long as I followed all the rules and etiquette, and as long as I, you know, did what I was supposed to do, whatever, they didn't have a problem with me joining. I was like 14, 15 years old when I joined the adult league. And the only thing was that I wasn't allowed to do tournaments until I was about 17 or 18. So even though the bowling league itself, I was able to, you know, win money obviously there because they were all money leagues. But because tournaments go, I had to wait until I was 18 because that's a, you know, official thing. So I've been bowling for quite a long time, and I've always found that bowling is a great way for people to learn about teamwork. It's a great way to come together as a family. It's a great work. It's a lot of great benefits to something like bowling. You can apply bowling to something else, I'm sure, like darts or something else you can do as a family. You know, softball, anything like that where you're going to get involved with some type of team sport. I came from high school. Even before that, when I was doing the combat sports, you know, I still had a school that I was with that represented the dojo. I represented the studio when I competed in the freestyle tournaments. And then in high school, when I was on the teams there, whether it be the soccer team, the wrestling squad, the swim team, I was always present. I think teams are a great thing. I believe that it gets you ready for life. The F4L is all about being there for each other and supporting each other. And that's kind of, you know, how that works, you know. The old saying that's been said over and over again is there's no I in team, and that's true. There's an I in win, but you know what? When you have good chemistry with a good team, you're all there to support each other. You all have heart. You all have drive. You have the same focus. You have each other's back. That's the key to victory. When you get victories, you win, and that's what you need. So let's talk about last night and bowling in general. So let's give you a little background on my team here. We got my son, who has bowled in an adult league before. A few years ago, as I told him on my other podcast, my whole family, my wife and my daughter and my son, they were all younger then. We all joined a family league together, and they had not done, this is when my wife and I were, you know, getting ready to get married and stuff like that. Even though we've been off and on together, like I said, for 17 plus years prior, we were, you know, we're dating seriously now. We were getting ready to kind of get married and stuff like that. So I thought it would be a great idea to join a bowling league together as a family. So we did. The kids were younger, but they were old enough to join the league. Like, you know, the league rules are, you know, 15 is about how old you have to be to join an adult league. Obviously, they would be excluded from tournaments and everything like that. But, you know what I mean. They did that. As long as they followed the etiquette like I did, they'd be fine, which they did. My kids always followed the etiquette. They always did what they were supposed to. They always showed respect to everybody. the same respect that they never got in return. You know, it's funny about bowling, or not, you know, I can't really talk about all of bowling like this, but what I saw last night was really something. And that's one of the reasons why I'm glad I have this podcast to vent something and talk about stuff. So, you know, I know I'm trying to wean into it, trying to keep my composure with this one, and also not to get too excited because it is late and stuff. So last night, as you know, last week we bowled for our averages. So an average is how much you have as what you have as a bowler. You know, an average is basically what you usually bowl in a night. You know, you might be 100 average or 90 average. That just means normally in three strings, which is usually what you play in a tournament in a league, you usually hit at least a 90 or an 80 in that time frame, kind of like that. See how that works? You have an average, which is how that works. What they do in these leagues is they give you what's called a handicap, because sometimes you have a team that has a higher average than someone who isn't so good. So they give you a little bonus pins and stuff like that. And to make that even, the house does that, not us. We don't have any control over that. That's all over the people who run the league. So they give them a what they call a handicap, and you go from there. So last week we bowled for our averages. I got to tell you, last week I did not bowl like I normally would, let me tell you. But also, I haven't bowled candlepin or any bowling in a couple of years now. And this is really our first time getting back into the swing of things. Not just because of this, but, you know, I used to bowl, like I said, every year for many years in the fall, mostly. This is my first time bowling in a summer league because I know summer leagues are usually more laid back and relaxed. And it would be a good way to kind of wean myself into that and the whole team, if that would be the case, to get us ready for the fall. We're also established, right? That was the idea, and that's still the idea. So I tell the kids, not the kids, they're all younger than me, my team. It's my son and our friend's two kids, who are the same age as my son, 18. And they're great kids. They're really good. They're fun kids. They're also going to Monster Mania. And like I said, they're friends with my daughter and my son. They're also competitive like me, and they like games. I'm like, that's fun. No big deal. And I don't care who joins my team, as long as they show up on time and they're ready to bowl. That's all. And be a teammate. You know, everyone has to start somewhere. They're not used to candlepin bowling. They're, you know, from an area that doesn't have candlepin bowling. Now, again, I keep saying candlepin bowling, and a lot of people who are not in the Northeast have no idea what I'm talking about. Candlepin bowling is a little, I've explained last week, is a little different than 10-pin. 10-pin is more like what the world knows as bowling. It's a big ball, and the pins are kind of shaped like a penguin kind of a thing, right? And you throw the ball down there, right? Well, two balls you get with that, right? Okay. Then there's what they call duck pin, which is kind of a cross between the two, candlepin and 10-pin. The balls are a little bit smaller than a 10-pin ball. There's no holes for your fingers. So it's actually more like what we call a candlepin ball, but it's bigger than a candlepin ball. And then you get three of those, but they clear the wood. And the pins in duck pin are smaller and squarer, and they kind of resemble more like a, you know, a duck, I guess, like a rubber duck. That's kind of what duck pin is. Now, I have always been raised in the Northeast of, you know, the U.S., so we have candlepin bowling here. The balls are smaller, weigh about 2 pounds each, and you get three balls each time you're up, and they don't clear the wood. They leave the wood up there. It's in place. As long as it's not in the gutter, because that would be, you know, you'd lose pins, and you don't lob the ball because you'd lose pins. But as long as you keep those things in mind and you just, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, you have no issues. It's fairly easy. Anybody can do it. Like I said, I've been doing it for years. But there's definitely a difference between when you do 10-pin and candlepin. Because 10-pin, you're using the entire arm to throw the ball, where with candlepin, you're only focusing on your wrist and your hand movement. That's about all. That's the biggest difference. And for me, I'll be the first to admit that I'm much better in King because I'm used to it than I am in 10-pin because I'm so used to the candle pin. Now, again, I haven't bowled candle pin. I really haven't bowled 10-pin all that often. But I think within time, as much as you – whenever you work into it, you get better. Last night, I bowled under what I used to do. Let's put it that way. But better than I thought I was going to do. And also the team bowled the best they could do, and that's all you can ask for your team. They're all new to the thing. They all follow the etiquette. The bowler on the right goes first and everything else. But then this is what happens. You have the people who, I'm teaching, the kids who are 18 on our team. My son, who's 18 himself, but he knows the rules. The bowler on the right goes first anyway. As I said, he's been on a league before. The other two people on our team, they also know the rule that we're doing in there. They followed the same thing. Now, here's where the issue comes in. There's adults in this league who don't follow that rule. Apparently, they were new to bowling. They've never been in a league before, apparently, because they didn't know the bowler on the right went first, and also they would yell and scream and not paying attention. There would also be pins that they would hit that was in the gutter and knocking over the pins that they thought was a spare or whatever. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you hit pins that are in the gutter, it doesn't count. And the people were throwing balls or going in the gutter and knocking down the rest of the pins, getting technically, one ball is a strike, two balls is a spare, three balls is a 10 if you knock all the pins down. Otherwise, it just stays up. Now, in this case, in this scenario, what was happening is, people were knocking down pins, but then they'd hit the pins that were in the gutter and knock down the rest of the pins. That would not count in the league. That's against the rules. They would lose that pin, and they weren't doing that. They're actually taking those pins, which is not good, as I'm trying to teach the kids. So I explained to our kids that we have to watch people like that because some people just don't know. And then this happens. A long time ago when I was in that league where I'm bowling now, it was my old house back in the day. And just so you guys know, I use a lot of Burling lingo that you're probably not used to. A house is where you bowl on a regular basis, where your league is. So wherever you bowl the most, and if you're part of the league, that's your house. I've had quite a few of those bowling houses over the years, but one I bowled at recently, the one I'm bowling now, for example, I have a lot of good memories, and also some good ones too. When I was younger, this is actually a really good message to all those kids out there, and I'm going to show you and tell you how this works. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do because it's going to come down to it. As I said before, my uncle brought me into the bowling league. I was about 15, 16. I was a young kid, 14, 15 years old. I'm new to bowling, but I knew all the rules. Bowling the right goes first. Don't go over the foul line. Don't lob the ball. These are things I did. And then when I first started bowling, I was not very good. Why would I be? I was young. I was new to it. I was probably getting a 60 average. I look back, I'm like, oh, that's a 60 average. But yeah, I was getting a 60 average, which meant I was getting 60s in every string or 50 in the strings because I was new and I was trying to find my groove and I was, brand new. In wrestling, we call that green. When you're new to something, when you're new to wrestling, you're green. When I was 14, 15, I didn't know what I was doing yet and I'm still learning. Now, get this. I was with my uncle and I bowled in his league. The house that we belong to, the house that ended up closing. Now, the sad part is bowling's kind of a dying art form, a dying sport. It's not very popular. A lot of that has to do with a lot of people who would much rather play video games or do other things rather than do something social like going bowling. Ultimately, sadly, that's kind of what it is. That goes for a lot of those things. Billiards is the same thing. Where can you go to just play billiards or bowl and whatnot? It's really a sad thing when I think about it. But, I bounced around a couple of bowling houses. I ended up in this other bowling house. I changed my bowling day. This is what this is going back to the back in the day here. And the people I was bowling with then, I told stories before my old podcast about people who pretended to be my friend, but in all honesty, they just bullied me and they tormented me and they humiliated me and they felt made me feel bad every single time we went out. Now you got to ask yourself, because I look back and I'm like, why didn't I see it then? Why I didn't stop talking to them? Why I didn't stop being friends with them then? Sadly, that's one of my regrets in life, is that I didn't end that friendship sooner, because it wasn't a friendship, people. Real friends don't kick when you're down, they help you up. And these people were not friends. They would humiliate me, make fun of me, talk about people behind their back, which I don't like, promote gossip, and promote drama, which is things I don't enjoy. Now, granted, I am in the pro wrestling business. A lot of our stuff can be considered drama. In the filmmaking world, I'm good at writing the dramas as far as that goes. But in real life, I don't want any part of, you know, this, you know, high school drama, call it. High school drama is, you know, Becky and Brad broke up and everyone gets involved in this conversation, right? Becky's friends talk about Brad. Brad talks about Becky. Becky's friends talk to Brad's friends. And then rumors go all over the place. You know, then Becky's friends all talk about all of Brad's friends, and Brad's friends all talk about all of Becky's friends. And this is what happens in high school. We all know this. Anyone who's ever been in high school knows that this is what happens. The gossip, rumors, you know, all these things. You know, this is kind of tragic in some ways. I kind of feel bad for these people. But last night when I got to the bowling alley, Last week we bowled for averages. Didn't have the entire league there. The house that I, as I said, the bowling house that I was in, I've known people there before. I don't know who's there, and I don't really care because I'm there for my team. I'm there to have fun. I'm here to get myself back into bowling shape. I'm not there to, you know, rehash things. No, honestly, I'm an adult. I'm there for fun and spend time with my family and get myself in shape. I'm not there for drama. I'm not there for fights. I'm not there for any of that stuff. And that's honestly how I feel about these things. But, you know, what's funny. You guys can tell how annoyed I am. Last night as I'm sitting there, had the rest of the league there, I guess, because who weren't there. Not everyone had to be there last week. It was only us and the newer people for averages. So the rest of the league, I'm doing the air parentheses, came in this week, so everyone's there now. Every week you got to bowl a different team, and we have numerous lanes. You stay on the first, you stay on two lanes. You just switch off lanes every other turn or whatever. We're in the same two lanes the whole night with one team at a time. Now, we bowled a team. We didn't know any of these people. We don't care. We're there for our team. You know, everyone's pretty much in a good mood. They all know. The whole team know. I already, you know, got the lingo. Everyone knows the rules. Well, I'm talking about our team. I already explained everything. Now, I see people who I knew back in the day who were those people who used to bully me and torment me and humiliate me and cut me down and tried to destroy my self-esteem. And you know what? I actually, instead of being so angry, I actually felt pride that I was there with my son, first of all. And second of all, I realized I now have a goal to show them that I'm not going to allow them to bother me or my team or to influence any kind of negativity, because maybe they've grown up. Maybe they are not the same people they were. Regardless, this is my team. That's who I'm here for. I'm here to have fun with my team to get myself into bowling shape. I don't get into drama, and I refuse to. And I also don't act like I'm better than everyone else there. In my head, because I'm very competitive, I want to be, and I will do the best I am. And I got to tell you, when I'm on, I'm on. I'm pretty tough. But what happens is one of the people who, in the past, I had a negative interaction with, she was one of the people who used to torment me. Here's a quick story. For example, I'll give you an example. A relative had just passed away. We just got done going to a wake. I'm sure probably people have an idea what a wake is by this point. It's just a kind of a visual thing where you say goodbye to the people who have passed on. And after the wake, the family and I went out to eat. My family and I went out to eat, and this woman happened to be there with these supposed friends. When I go out to restaurants and so forth, whenever I order any kind of liquid, a beverage, I should say, I always order with no ice. It's just out of habit. Usually it's soda or whatever, but I always order something with no ice because I feel like the ice waters the drink down. Usually it was soda back then. Now I don't drink soda, but back then it would be soda. So I would normally order a soda with no ice. And this particular day, I decided it's time for me to get in healthy. I wanted to just have a glass of water with dinner. But without thinking, because I'm so used to ordering drinks with no ice, I said, can I have a water with no ice? And this woman who I'm talking about, I'm not going to mention names, but if a person listens, they'll know. But I'm really doing this for, whatever else. She says, Sean, why don't you like, water in your ice in your water? I said, because it waters it down, and then it makes mostly ice. So basically, she was making fun of the fact that I ordered a water with no ice because, as we all know, if ice melts, it becomes more water. So in essence, you get the same. So it's really that reasoning really doesn't exist there, but it was out of force, out of impulse, out of habit. Now, you would think it was just after a week, too. You would think that that's not really a time to, point things out like that. You would also think that's like a little stupid little thing, right? How would you blow something like that up, like out of proportion? Well, I'm going to tell you how. To this very day, if I see her or any of those people who are there, that is the go-to thing they bring up in conversation. They will ask me, hey, you want a water with no ice? To this day, because they know that was what they did, and that's what they continue going with. That's juvenile. By the way, this woman's older than I am. She's about 20 years older than I am, this woman. And she, last night I saw her there, and I saw someone else there who I know is one of the people who likes to, thinks that they're a really good bowler, and they like to talk smack about all the bowlers, especially me. Because when I had first met that gentleman, I was new to bowling. And I guess, because I was new to bowling and I wasn't him, I didn't bowl 6 days a week. I wasn't as good as him. So he likes to put me down. Now, here's the other thing. He was with that group, used to make fun of me, so they all ganged up together to make fun of me. What he didn't know is that they did the same exact thing when he wasn't around to him. But anyway, I hate two-faced people. If you want to talk smack to someone, talk smack to them. He probably thinks that they think the world of him, but in reality, they just make fun of him whenever he's not around. And that's sad. To this day, and guess what? They were all hanging out yesterday together. And what happened is they were going down to the team that was bowling us. Apparently, they know each other because, again, we're just getting acquainted back into the summer league for fun. And they were talking about us. They were talking about me. I heard him say something about, watch us because we cheat on pins and things like that. I've never cheated on pins in my life. This is a thing that this gentleman had made up a long time ago because he didn't like the fact that my team beat him. A number of years ago, I was in a state bowling tournament with my cousin, my younger cousin, and we won the men's doubles. I didn't have a very high average, neither did my cousin. This gentleman has a high average, and he did not beat us. We destroyed them because we had good chemistry. We believed in each other. We supported each other. And I got to be honest, this was the best pin action I've ever had in my life. And I'm hoping that gets there again. And a few years ago when we were in a league, I did really well as well when the whole family was there. And again, I'm hoping that returns again, that passion, that almost I couldn't miss. And I'm hoping that comes back again. It's going to take some time. But here's these people. And a woman comes down, talks to them. And then so does the other guy comes down and talks to them. So they're gossiping. Think about this now. I just turned 41 years old. These people, the woman is 20 years older than me, and the other guy is actually 10 years older than me. So they're both older than me and the whole team, but yet they're gossiping like they're in high school. So on one end, I'm, you know, annoyed that they haven't grown up, and I'm heartbroken they haven't grown up for them, not me. I've moved on. I have a wife. I have kids. I've done very important things in my life. I've gone on to accomplish a lot. I have 2 college degrees. I've made successful films. I've made it in the wrestling business. I have very good F4L. I started the F4L. I have a great wrestling show, the YouTube. I have everything else going. I have my own podcast. Bowling is just something that I do for fun here and there, like this one night a week. Yet here's these people who want to try to cause, what, trouble? Spreading rumors of people they don't know who don't know us. But the other thing I had in my head is, you know, since that woman was friends with the other one who used to really torment me, well, they both were pretty bad at tormenting me. And now, here's the really sad part about that. As I say they were tormenting me as far as bullying goes, constantly telling me I was ugly, constantly telling me I was stupid, I was slow, you know, putting me in scenarios, making fun of me, putting me down, that you're not good enough for that girl, you can't do this, you can't sing, you can't dance, you can't do this, you can't do that. The whole water scenario, things of this nature. They love to cut me down every opportunity they could get. But you know what? You know, I'm not going to let that bother me. But I am going to use it as motivation. And this is what I told my team yesterday. If there's ever someone in the league who you're bowling and they get you upset, one of the best advice I can give someone is to use it as momentum. Something about me that a lot of people don't know is because it's a very rare thing. I don't get angry often. In fact, I very rarely get angry. It takes a lot to make me upset. It takes a lot to get me angry. There are certain things that are instant triggers, like, you know, if they were to talk about my kids, my son, my team, they're going to have issues with me. But, you know, I don't mind someone sitting there running their mouth. That doesn't bother me. I'm from pro wrestling. I did that for a living, and I wore a lot less than what I was wearing yesterday for that. But I got paid for that more than they'll ever know. And then, you know, all these other things, you know what I mean? So it's like, yes, I do still remember what they did to me back in the day. And yes, I see that they haven't changed. But instead of me getting really angry and letting that affect me, I'm going to use that as momentum. Because now I know at least 2 teams that I know we're going to beat. Because whenever I get angry or when I get upset, I get extremely focused. I know that's a rare thing. And that was something was always one of my things my coaches always teamed up on. My coaches always pointed out the fact whenever I was angry, I got more focused. Same thing goes for bowling. I get angry, I get focused. Sometimes, you know, when you're going bowling or whatever, you get fun, you just kind of throw the ball or whatever. But when I get focused, I don't miss. And I told my team yesterday, prior to any of that, I said the best way to get back at someone, to make someone, who, if someone's ever making fun of you or making you angry or whatever, the best way you can get back at them is by doing better than them, beating them. Strategy. That's my strategy. My son has the scenario, is kind of like, is opposite of me, kind of in a way, but in a way he doesn't mind either. My son is a pacifist. He doesn't like to fight. I'm sure he also has no problem, you know, telling someone I've had to, but that's why I'm there. And, you know, that was what I had to experience last night. And this is something I'm going to have to get used to every Monday. These people are going to be here. And that's the thing. And that is the biggest thing to come up, because this is what's going to happen. Because this is kind of a dream scenario, where in a way. A lot of people talk about, what do you do with bullying? How do you beat a bully? Why do people bully? Well, every Monday, guess what? I am preaching what I speak. When I go to schools, I tell kids how to beat the bully. I'm going to prove it because that's what I'm going to do every Monday. Because I got two bullies right there that I have to worry about. Two people who, you know, who are old enough to know better, really. Two people who have nothing to talk about other people, no room to talk about anybody. I don't let that bother me because I'm there to have fun with my family. Like I said, I'm there to bowl, have fun, get myself into shape, and have fun with my family and my friends. It's my escape from everything else I'm doing that's, you know, work-related, and it's my time to do something creative, a night out with people, something social that I'm decent at, and that'll bring me money in the end. It's a money league again. So that was a scenario. There was a fight that broke out between the girl, one of the women who were playing with us and the team next to us because they were not following the rules. Now, here's the thing. The woman who was bowling, the team that we were bowling last night, the woman was upset all night long. You know, the way they do bowling is usually they have you paired up with someone who's close to your average. So this woman was, who we were bowling, was already angry anyway. She was getting tens and strikes, and my team wasn't come close to that. We were following the etiquette, but this woman was getting annoyed anyway. She's one of these people who lets anything – there's a thing called an excuse towel that has all the excuses why you didn't do good bowling. And, like, you know, those people last night who were cheering, and then, again, they'll bowl the right thing, and then there was a cowbell someone was ringing every time someone got a spare or a strike. I get that that's distracting, but you're an adult. You're having fun. It's not rocket science. Relax. You know what I mean? It's a game. And here's this woman throwing the balls around and everything else. Now, the whole night she was doing this, and then at the end of the night, she decides she wants to argue with the team next to us about them not bowling on the right. And, of course, this escalated to the point where the guy who owns the bowling alley had to come and yell at them both like they're 10-year-olds in the schoolyard. It's embarrassing that you can't control yourself in bowling. I don't care how many leagues you bowl on, how much money you spend. Act like an adult. Act like a teammate. Set a good example for yourself. Arguing with other women or whatever and how you talk to people is a different story. Now, that being said, what I told my team, when I noticed that the other team wasn't following the etiquette, the ball on the right goes first, they were just going, and that would throw you off. What I told my team was, whenever you're up there, let the ball on the right go first, let the other person go on the left who are not following the etiquette, and then you go. Because when you do that, you know, you don't have to worry about that. See the difference between how you take care of a situation? I problem solve it by telling them this is how you beat that. Don't worry about everything. Don't get into a fight over it. It's not worth it. It's a bowling. But this is how you do that. Rather than start a fight with the one next to you. Okay, so there's that. So I just wish more adults acted like adults in front of kids who are younger, who are trying to learn the game. That's really what's disheartening to me. But now, what also this teaches me and shows me is that my team has to be the ones to bring the regulation in. My team is going to be the ones who are going to set the example. And it's going to be my team that's going to bring them all humble, make them all humble, because someone has to be the ones to show how a team should be. Support your teammates, cheer everyone on, have good sportsmanship. Don't get into fights. Don't gossip. Don't create drama. It's not high school. You know, it's bowling. That's all I'm going to say about the bowling for now. And then there'll be more later, I'm sure, as weeks go on, as this is just the beginning. So I'll have more updates for you guys next week on bowling, which is on Mondays. All right. Boy, oh boy. So, let's see, film and movie reviews. What have I seen? Oh, you know what? I do want to talk to you guys about a movie review. I just watched the first couple episodes of the new, for the horror fans out there, I just watched a few episodes of the new Creepshow season 2 just got released. Good stuff so far. I watched the first two episodes. I'm loving it. I mean, if you like horror stuff and you like the pop culture stuff, Stephen King, George Romero stuff, it was great. I enjoy the first two episodes. I'm going to continue watching those. And also, I want to do a review on something a lot of people probably don't review, stand-up comedy, but Gabriel Iglesias, he's a comedian. You guys probably know him better as Fluffy. He had a TV show on Netflix. On Netflix currently, he has a stand-up special called Fluffy the Movie. At first, I thought it was actually a legit movie about Fluffy because it starts off with a very elaborate, you know, opening where it's him as a kid, actually shows his mother meeting his father and, you know, then little Iglesias and wrestling references there I saw. And then, because he's a big fan of wrestling too. And then, you know, other things that it kicked into his stand-up special. So I'm going to talk about the Creep Show first, and then I'll talk about Fluffy's movie, which just came out, I guess. It's on Netflix, like I said. And Creep Show is on Shudder right now. Or if you have Prime, you can get Shudder through Prime, Amazon Prime. We have both. We have everything because you have to. So the first two episodes we saw on the season two, good stuff. Throwback to an old classic Creep Show, the first one. I don't want to spoil or anything, but great job. Oh, my goodness, the special effects for a TV show. And for, like, the TV show is on, like, a streaming platform. The special effects are amazing on the Creep Show. I'm really impressed what I've seen so far. I can't wait to see the rest of it, honestly. But the special effects are fantastic. It's got what Creep Show is kind of known for, that kind of goofy, the kind of horror, but also the kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of horror kind of a thing. I really enjoy the first two episodes. I'm looking forward to the rest, like I said. Pretty well written. What I also like is there's not a lot of huge name actors thus far. They're going with lesser known talents to get them some work. I like to see that too. I like some fresh faces. It's nice to see that. It's nice to get some people to, you know, change up a little bit, you know. A lot of talented people in the role. A lot of them don't get seen because it's usually the same people over and over again who get in front of the camera. So it's nice to see fresh people. And then, that was the Creep Show TV season two, which is, like, again, on Shudder and Netflix is currently. Go check that out. It's on right now. You'll love it if you like horror. If you want to laugh, however, like the movie I'm going to tell you about is Fluffy, the stand-up movie. Where, again, has very elaborate beginning. I'm not going to spoil a lot for you, but he does a lot of jokes that really hit home, but some of it's really, really personal. And I got to tell you, as a dad, he got me a lot, and I didn't realize that me and Fluffy had so much in common. I have a lot of respect for, you know, Gabriel Iglesias, even more so than I had going in, and I thought it was great before. But go check out that special. It's funny, first of all, but also it kind of gets you going a little bit, too, if you're a dad or if you're someone who grew up without a dad like myself and him. But also if you have kids and stuff like that, you know, Fluffy, you know, all the pride to him, and that was a great little special. So there's a film and TV review, something different for a change. Yeah, good stuff. Pop culture. I told you guys about Monster Mania. They're having a pop-up event. And we will be going to Cherry Hill, New Jersey in August. The whole family will be there. So if you go in there, you'll see us there. Come up, say hi. I'll invite, you know, during Monster Mania weekend. So don't worry about it. That's a joke. Yeah, so good stuff. What else can I talk about? Comic Books 101. Oh, I'm currently reading a graphic of the collection from Marvel. You guys know, if you read comic books, you know who Juggernaut is. Maybe you don't, so allow me. Juggernaut is the actual half-brother of Charles Xavier, who you guys know better as Professor X from the X-Men. Juggernaut, up until recently, was always known as kind of one of the biggest villains that the X-Men had to fight a lot. Which is funny because, remember, his brother, his half-brother, is Charles Xavier. The reason why the Juggernaut wears that massive helmet over his head, which is why he kind of looks like the Juggernaut, is because that is how, that is so Charles can't read his mind. That's what that's for. And Juggernaut's kind of known as like the immovable object. He's kind of like, he's Juggernaut. A lot of power, speed, strength, blah, blah, blah. But he's the brother of Charles Xavier, half-brother. And recently they decided to make him a good guy, I guess, an experiment. I luckily was able to pick up the graphic novel. I'm going to be reading that shortly. So I'll probably have a review for you guys next week. I'm really excited, though, because it's always interesting whenever you see a comic book, you know, featured, you know, have a villain who's known as a villain and featured in a more heroic fashion. You know, they've done this with the Joker's daughter, Harley Quinn. And if you want to call a spade, I mean, technically when Deadpool and the Punisher started out, they were also villains who just became anti-heroes before they had a name for it. They were just kind of villains turned into heroes because how do you not? No, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with this Juggernaut as a good guy, and I'm curious how that's going to work out. And I'm expecting somewhere down the line him to flip out and go back to being the Juggernaut he's always known to be. And I'm wondering, that brings the question, though, what would that mean, really, for the X-Men or whatever else if Juggernaut was to turn good? It's been a long time since I've read the X-Men comics itself. So I don't even know if Charles Xavier is still alive in this you know, altered verse, because you know how comic books always go through these different changes where a comic book character will die and then they'll come back, and that's how comics work, people. So I'm excited for that. What else did I read for comics? Comic Book Day is going to be coming up. It's in May usually. And also, by the way, today is May 4th. That means also the entire month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So that's something to also keep in mind. Mental health awareness, you know, I know a lot of people here have heard me say it a couple times and whatever. And I know that people are probably tired of all the PSAs and everything else. But really, all I'm saying is just treat people the way you want to be treated. Don't use stigma and everything like that. Understand that, you know, life's not all sunshine and rainbows for a lot of people. People go through a lot of things. People are different. I also wanted to share with you guys today. I mean, when I was doing my, I did a bit on YouTube about my, you know, story with mental illness and whatnot. I wanted to share this with you guys because I'm curious what you guys think of this. The day I was going to get my quote to look into getting my mental health records, because it's been a long time since I've seen them. In fact, the only time I've ever seen my mental health records was when a doctor at the time had shown them to me, because we both had a good laugh at some of the things we saw in them. They were from back, we went all the way back to when I was 4 or 5 years old. Think about that. That's how long the records go back to. 4 or 5 years old. It has all my medical history, mental health history. It has all of my medication roster. It has all of that, notes from the sessions. And there was one note particularly that stuck out to both of us was, as I'm sitting there listening, we were seeing that apparently when I was playing Cops and Robbers during the one of the sessions, because I was 6 and I didn't want to sit in a room and talk about my feelings, which is a normal thing, by the way. And I wanted to use my imagination to play cops and robbers instead of sitting in the room talking about, you know, feelings. That was when apparently the doctor at the time didn't see that as me playing cops and robbers, that I was having a psychiatric emergency, I guess you put it. That was a hallucination seeing robbers that were not there. He could not see. He didn't know, this big guy who has a medical degree, a psychiatry degree, whatever they call it. Actually, most doctors, if you're a therapist or a psychiatrist, I should say, you have a medical license. So this guy with a medical license, who's a trained physician, who's a trained mental health worker, which I do too, he can't tell the difference between someone playing cops and robbers and someone having a psychotic breakdown. And I was six. You have to laugh about it, because how can you not? But anyway, I want to give you guys a little bit of an update. I was finally able to get some paper. So apparently I have to fill out a form and submit in writing that I want my mental health records. Now, just to prove my point, to see, you know, how crazy this is, I walked into my eye doctor, for example, and I asked him for my eye records for my eyes. And I was able to get it. It had all the way back to when I first started wearing glasses. It said, you know, whatever else is in the eye history. I went to my physician for my physical stuff. I got my medical degree, my medical records, actual medical records, talking like physical stuff. No problems. Walked in, asked them for the records. That was me, and they gave them to me. Now, the mental health records. You would think it's just as easy, right? Well, here's the thing. I want to get my mental health records, and you obviously want to do things the right ways and go through the right channels. It should be just as simple as it was for me to get my medical license, my medical records, or my eye records, because one, it's me, it's my records, and it's my right to know what's in my records and my right to see and view and have copies of my records. That's the first thing. Now, as I'm reading over the form that they want me to fill out for my mental health records, first of all, they make up a name for this form or the mental health records. They call it a protected health record. Well, no kidding. That's what they call the mental health record, a protected health record. I have a newsflash for you. The HIPAA law makes every record private, protected, unless I give written authorization that it can be given, because that's the HIPAA law that protects me from that. But the law states that because of the HIPAA law, if it's me and it's me only, I have every right to access it without any question or disturbance. As I'm reading this form, it also tells me that they can choose to deny me access to my own mental health records. Think about that. Why? How? Is this legal? They can't do that. So I'm going to, you know, tomorrow I have some things to do, and I might, you know, stop on by there and ask them, hey, is this a legal thing? You can have me fill out a form to get my mental health records, but then you can deny me access to my mental health records? Mind you, I walked in and got my eye history. I walked into my doctor and had them pull up my medical history. All I had to do was show them my license and prove who I was. No problem. But now, this, they can deny me access to my protected health records. Anywho, folks, I'm not one of these people who's going to promote or say things are out of whack, but this, I have pretty good instincts and stuff like that, and this tells me there's something strange about all this. I'm not one of these conspiracy people, so please don't believe that. And I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm not trying to say anything crazy, but I'm also not trying to. And I'm also not trying to say that what they're saying is not legal either. But I have a medical. I have a whole human services degree. They know that. They know I have I work in the field. Some of these people, I've been on the same board. I've done letters and stuff with some of these people. They know that I know what I'm talking about. So, but for some reason, this kind of makes me feel some kind of way, and I don't know what that feeling is yet. I find it strange that, you know, they would ask you to fill out this form and then they can decide whether or not to share it with you or not. It's your mental health records. Why can't they? There's no difference between your medical records and your mental health records. It's still part of you, and you have every right to view it, to read it, to have a copy for yourself. That is your legal right. So just to let you guys know that this, I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but for some reason, if this is a thing, on this podcast, you've heard it first, that, you know, there could be some legal ramifications for them, because if, in fact, this is the case that they can actually dictate if they can give me access to my own records or not, that's against that's a violation of the law, a violation of the patient-client thing, and a violation of a lot of other rules and laws. I'll keep you guys posted on that, but we're not going to go too deep in on that. But I did want to bring you guys up to speed on that, where it is Mental Health Awareness Month. I have PTSD for those people who I already mentioned at the beginning of the show, post-traumatic stress disorder, shell shock, war syndrome, soldier's sickness, shell shock. I think I said that already. A lot of people who are first responders, or people in the military, or people who are, because basically what PTSD is, you're exposed to an event that's so traumatic in your life that affects everything that, you know, goes on in the rest of your life. It's usually a profound memory, an instance that is so profound and so tragic and so whatever that it just kind of affects you the rest of your life. And now here's the sad part. I want you guys to think about this. I've been suffering from this since I was 4 or 5 years old. Goes to show you that my life growing up was not all peachy. It was not peachy at all. It was not as nice as people think it is. And, you know, all that stuff. So the fact that I was finally diagnosed correctly at 13, but I already had the symptoms of post-traumatic stressor prior to that. All of the things I was already getting, you know, hit with, not things that I actually had. They're all symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Feeling up and down, problems sleeping, intense memories, various other types of things that would happen as well. These are all symptoms of that. Mood swings can happen in that way. All of that. Intense memories, like I said, they call them flashbacks. Now, also, I also control a lot of those things. I've been dealing with them a long time. I know my coping mechanisms. And also, I don't believe in looking past in the past. I believe in going forward and not looking back, because it doesn't get you anywhere. So there's that. So it is what it is. Yeah, but anywho, I wanted to, you know, I've dealt with it for most of my life. That's all I'm saying to you, is that it's not something that I see as a, it's something I have to deal with. It is something that I live with every day. It does affect me. Like, for example, right now where I am, it's 11:34. My insomnia, I still have. That's part of. This is a symptom of post-traumatic stress disorder. I have a hard time sleeping at night. We also know where that comes from. We can listen to people argue all night long and everything else I had to witness as a kid. So, you know, late nights, I can't go to bed too early. And if I get too much sleep, I don't feel good either. So, you know, there's that. Other than that, my sleeping, I don't really have a lot of impact. I mean, as far as memories go, memories come and go. But, you know, thankfully, when it comes to my writing or whatever, I usually put that into, you know, story form, or, you know, there's so much stuff that you can do to cope with these types of things that you don't need to worry about it being a crutch. A lot of people use these things as an excuse to get certain things or do certain things, get special privileges. I'm not one of those people. I have, and a lot of people, you know, make their mental health, you know, all about them. They're all about their mental health. And what I want to say is it shouldn't be like that. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I am not post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a difference. The person I am is, I define who I am, not a title that someone gave me years ago in an office. I don't let, you know, a diagnosis stop me from doing anything I want to do. I had post-traumatic stress disorder when I went into pro wrestling, when I went into the filmmaking business, when I was hitting the sports fields and helping my team to victories, when I was competing in combat sports. I had post-traumatic stress disorder all of those times, but guess what? I also continued and did all those things and succeeded all of them because I don't dwell on them. I deal with it at the moment, and I move on. I have a lot of coping mechanisms, writing, keeping myself occupied. To be honest with you guys, and this is an honest truth, writing is one of my biggest, saving graces. I can't go anywhere without having a pen and paper. I need to write. I always have ideas that come in, whether it be for the show on YouTube, whether it be for the movies I'm working on, whether it be for a short story or a novel or something. I'm constantly writing something because that's what I enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with that. My family saw it as me being, they didn't understand all of that. They don't understand someone who can have an imagination, write poetry, write short stories. They didn't understand those things. And now years later, we know some of the best writers out there have had some type of mental illness. Some of the most creative people out there have some type of illness. My favorite comedian of all time, my favorite actor, never mind comedian, my favorite actor of all time was Robin Williams. And we all know about him having the bipolar and the depression. And we all know what happened there. That's sad. But look at what he did while he was alive. And that was with that. So as this is mental health awareness, just remember that people who have a mental illness could be depressed. Everyone has a diagnosis. Everyone has something is the other thing I'm going to tell you guys. Because I was about to tell you that, you know, everyone feels depressed sometimes. Everyone feels a little sad or down or out. Or sometimes you have mood swings. Sometimes you might have a day where you'll start really good and you're in a good mood. But then something will happen. Maybe it'll be a bad mood after that or vice versa. That is something that you could be diagnosed for. You could say that someone has bipolar for that reason because they're up and down moods. But in reality, this is just life. People have ups and downs. You know, there are a lot of things out there, a lot of people out there who will, you know, use these types of things for excuses why they do certain things. I don't believe in that because it doesn't define who I am that I have post-traumatic stress disorder. It's just who I am. And as far as, you know, I've gone into veteran homes and stuff like that and talk to other veterans who have actually served in the military, World War II, Gulf War. I've talked to some of the people who've seen the hardest parts of things. And when we're sitting there talking and we talk about various things like we talk about, you know, PTSD, the first thing they do right off the bat is they look at me and they see that I'm 40. I was younger when I was doing a lot of that anyway. Right now, I'm not going anywhere, but when I was going around and talking to schools and, you know, veterans homes and stuff, I was about, 27? I was 20, 18, 19, 20, 27. I probably stopped doing, pretty much until like the time I got married, really. I was going out and doing schools and stuff like that because then I decided it's time for me to focus on just my family, and that's okay with me, too. So all I'm saying is that you can't let any of that define you. That's all I'm saying. And as I was talking to, you know, when I walk into these veteran homes and they'd see me at, you know, 19 or 20, they'd say, well, what have you been through that's got you here? And then I would tell them and they'd say, you know what? You earned this Purple Heart, not me. But it's not about comparing notes. It's not about who has it worse. We're all in it together. Everyone all over the world can be diagnosed with something. I guarantee you that. A doctor sees a doctor. A psychiatrist sees a psychiatrist. That's how it goes. No one is perfect. No one is special. Well, that's not true. Everyone is special in their own ways. Be you is what I'm telling you. And don't let some label someone puts on you define who you are, or how you're going to do things or anything like that. Because if you do it that way, then you're not going to get anywhere in life. I am probably going to end my episode early tonight because, I did find a solution to insomnia. It's life, married life, married and kids life. Because now, when I was younger and stuff like that, I still do have bouts of the insomnia, people know. But I can say that, honestly, since getting married and, having the kids and stuff like that, that's pretty much cured my insomnia. Because at the end of the day, any parent will tell you, after a long day of dealing with kids, work, drama, whatever else, you can't wait to go to bed. But anyway, guys, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. I want to thank everyone else out there who's listening. Don't be down or don't be sad or anything like that. And don't feel bad for people who are going through these things. Just understand them and respect from them, the people they are. It's not about feeling bad for them. It's not about pity. It's about respect and treating them the way you want to be treated, the golden rule, right? All right. I've hit everything on here, the YouTube show, Parenting 101, Fatherhood, talked about my son, everything else like that. I think it's great. Talked about motherhood stuff. Talked about pro wrestling. Did I talk about pro wrestling? Well, my wife's watching pro wrestling. I can't really talk too much about the pro wrestling stuff right now because I'm not currently watching the shows because out of respect for the guys in it, I'm not happy with it. But I can tell you that I rather enjoy a lot of the various programming that's being offered right now. There's a lot of documentaries and stuff like that going on in wrestling about the people involved. Even though I've been in the business for 21 years, there's always something else I'm learning. And in all honesty, I'm a sponge when it comes to learning more about the business I love and the people who are responsible for me getting there. And I think that should be important for anyone who's involved with some type of thing that they're passionate about. Whether it's a sport, always good to have an understanding of what you're getting into when you have a goal in mind. So, with that being said, I'm going to be back on Friday for TGIF4L weekend kickoff. And then I'll be back here next Tuesday for Talking Tuesday. And again, happy Mother's Day, everyone. On YouTube, sometime within the next couple days, probably before Sunday, definitely you'll see a special edition YouTube show for mothers as our Mother's Day, our annual Mother's Day spectacular. And dads, fellow dads out there, don't worry, because we have one of those for Father's Day the month after that. In the meantime, I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, leader of the F4L. And everything else I'm doing, if you need to get a hold of me, you can reach me by email at wow, W-O-W, dreammatches, dreammatches, at gmail.com. That's wow, dreammatches, at gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Instagram at F4L, lowercase letters, SEANJAZZSTW. That's me. And you can also reach me on Twitter at Sean, SEAN, Jazz, JAZZ, Stevens, STEVENS. Of course, you can go to my YouTube, as always, to watch all of our excitement at our awesome YouTube channel, and I will give you that 1 second, as always. YouTube shows. So you can go to my YouTube show, and my YouTube channel is hold on 1 second here, folks. It's Dream Match. It's Dream, D-R-E-A-M. Hyphen M-A-S-T-E-R-S, and that with the apostrophe and sign, hyphen wow, W-O-W. We have many other channels on there, so if you find me on one of them, most likely you just follow the yellow brick road to me, and then I'll bring you to us. I am, it still has my son and I's picture on there because we are still the Dream Masters, father, son, Jazz and Son's Dream Masters, even though I am primarily the only person who does it right now. Anyway, guys, may your dreams come true. I am the host with the most, Yakov Sean Jazz Stevens. I hope you guys are doing well. I'll be back on Friday. Yep. Everyone go out there and do what you're going to do. Have a great week. And I hate having this thing at the end. Peace, everyone. Good night.